This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan with Lim Soo Ann and Sumitra Selvaraj. Here are our stories today.
First up, yesterday, Tinaganita raised alarm bells over the detention of two Filipino toddlers for almost 3 weeks in a detention centre in Bukit Jalil. So how can we improve protections for undocumented migrant children?
And the Minister for Primary Industries has said that a presentation by a group of school children is tantamount to, quote, a disservice to the country, unquote, because it feels like a protest of sorts.
On that note, we are asking you on Twitter, should children have the same rights as adults to protest? Your options are yes or no. So you can join the conversation by tweeting any of your thoughts at BFM Radio, or you can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
But before that, here is Children of the Revolution by T-Rex.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was Children of the Revolution by T-Rex. And now our first story.
So yesterday, Tinaganita's executive director, Glorine A. Das, released a statement on the alarming detainment of two Filipino toddlers at the Bukit Jalil Detention Centre. So the toddlers, both below the age of two, have been held there since the 14th of June, which is 21 days ago.
Yeah.
But we do have some good news today, at least. So as of yesterday evening, Immigration Department Director General Dato' Khairul Zaimi Daud stated that the toddlers will be released and deported back to the Philippines today. He also added that the slight delay in their release was due to the investigation and documentation process.
Slight delay.
21 days is a little bit more than a slight delay.
These are babies. Anyway, let's take a look at what happened. Yes, this all started with an immigration raid at the Plaza India apartment in Kajang on the night of the 14th of June. Now, the children's mothers, who have valid visas, by the way, were not home. And the toddlers, who are undocumented, were being cared for by relatives. After the toddlers were taken to the Bukit Jalil Immigration Detention Centre, their mothers were informed that they can be sent back to the Philippines together with their mothers if they have the necessary travel documents from the embassy.
So according to Tinaganita, they were informed that the Philippine embassy is actually ready to provide these travel documents as soon as the immigration department sends them the deportation papers for the babies. An investigation officer from the Investigation and Enforcement Unit of the immigration department has also said that they have sent the deportation order and other necessary documents to the Bukit Jalil Detention Centre back in on the 27th of June. But despite repeated inquiries by the mothers and also by the attorney that was appointed by the Philippines Embassy, as of 3 p.m. yesterday when Tinaganita released their statement, the detention centre maintains that they were unaware of any deportation orders and were waiting for further instructions from Putrajaya. And to Glorine of Tinaganita, this lack of communication and coordination, whether intentional or not, is extremely distressing to see.
Just the idea of, you know, hearing the words babies and deportation together in the same sentence. Right.
And then to just use paperwork as an excuse in this situation just seems so... It's just unforgivable, really.
And it unfortunately gets worse because Tinaganita says that they have received reports and cases on, quote, intolerable and inhumane, unquote, conditions of detention centres. Even immigration detention officers have themselves acknowledged that these centres are not equipped to handle children. Mm. And this is, of course, because our immigration laws don't distinguish between adults and children. So children who violate immigration laws are subject to the same arrest and detention conditions as adults. I know you're shaking your head, Ash. It boggles the mind.
Yes.
So what this means is that children are held in the same detention centres as adults with limited access to healthcare and no access to education or play.
That's right.
Yeah, and during this whole process, Tinaganita has also reached out to the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development for them to intervene in this case, but they've also had minimal success thus far until the statement was released yesterday. But Deputy Minister Hannah Yeo has also expressed her disappointment with how long it has taken them to handle this case, and she's gone on to say that children do not belong in detention centres because these are toddlers, they're 2 years old. So earlier today, I spoke to Sharmila Sekaran, the co-founder of Voice of the children to understand more about what impact it would be to actually of separating these toddlers from their mothers, and what are the legal protections that we do offer to undocumented migrant children in Malaysia. So it was announced yesterday evening that the toddlers would be released today, but they have been away from their mothers, their families for about 20 days. What impact would this have on them, especially in psychologically?
So one of the things we have to realise is about the way a child's brain develops from birth and right up to the teenage years and beyond. And for very young children, we're talking about babies and toddlers, their brain develops almost exponentially. It develops very, very fast, you know, and then there's a plateau. So as you get older, it stops developing as rapidly or as when you're very young, mm-hmm. Babies and toddlers. And a lot of this is to do with also social interaction, in particular with children. Up to the age of 2-3 years old is where a child learns to bond, learns to form relationships, learns to form trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because they need that environment, that protective environment, to learn who they can trust, who they can't trust, and to form that relationship. And it's this ability to form relationships that then carries people on into maturity, into older years, and into kind of like parenthood and relationships. So one of the big problems of having severed this bond for 20 days is the fact that, question mark, have we put these two children, these two toddlers, in a position where now they have insecurities, anxieties that come into play. If they are then reconciled with the mother, mm-hmm. I understand that this is single parent families, if they're then reconciled with the mothers, will they show signs of anxiety and stress every time the mother leaves for work, every time the child is separated from the mother? And this has a direct impact on the development of the brain, of a child's brain, which continues to develop till the age of 5 and 6. These are very, very crucial years. They are the years when the synapses and the connections of brain development are made. And any impact with regard to child's development and the brain's development, the psychological development of a child, will have an impact as to the kind of person this child grows up to be from childhood. So I'm talking about 8 and 10-year-olds and then teenagers, you know, 13 and 15 and 18-year-olds, right up into adulthood. And the more negative impact a child has, the more damage we're creating in a human being, mm-hmm. into adulthood.
When it comes to undocumented migrant children, such as in this case, what are the protections available for them in our country and under our legal system?
A very good question, because actually, I think the starting point should be the federal constitution,
mm-hmm.
which in Article 5 says that no person should be deprived of their personal liberty, life and personal liberty, in this case, personal liberty. And when we talk about person here, we're talking about man, woman and child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just adults that we're referring to. Of course, save in accordance with law, but that a person should not be deprived of their liberty is the starting point that we need to look at. And then we look at the kinds of legislations that exist and why they exist if we need to deprive someone of their liberty. So if someone is a nuisance to society because they're constantly committing offences, then that would be a reason to deprive them of their liberty. But when it comes to something like this, when we're talking about immigration offences with regards to children, what are we talking about? What are we fearing? What kind of law are we creating or have we created that allows us to deprive a child of his or her personal liberty versus balancing? In this case, national security is always the cited reason,
mm-hmm.
For depriving of personal liberty. But what national security issue are two toddlers going to create that we need to deprive them of their personal liberty?
Right.
And when we deprive them of personal liberty, we keep them in the most horrendous circumstances. The immigration detention centres are places that even an animal should not be in.
Mm-hmm.
And human beings, we're putting human beings under those circumstances. It's a compounded effect when we're talking about children in those circumstances, because, like I said, these are key developmental ages or stages of a child, and what are we exposing them to that they're going to carry with them into adulthood wherever they are? So it's something we really need to look at. Malaysia, we ratified the Convention on the Rights of the Child in 95. What we then had to do was to take certain steps to ensure that we could honour the international commitment we made in respect of the rights of children.
Mm-hmm.
if we look at Article 2, it talks about non-discrimination of children, irrespective of a whole bunch of things like race, religion, and so forth, who their parents are, also irrespective of birth. So where they're born, whether they're citizens or non-citizens, we should not be discriminating against them, especially in a circumstance like this. Also, one of our commitments is that we're going to ensure that the child's best interest is taken into account in everything we do in terms of ensuring the protection and care for the child's well-being, and that we will take the appropriate legislative and administrative action to ensure this.
Mm-hmm.
So in removing these children in a late-night raid, removing them from a very secure environment and putting them in detention away from the only caregiver they know, the mother, and keeping them under such squalid conditions, because we are all saying we are ratified the convention, so children have rights now. Have we honoured that? You know,
mm-hmm.
And when we look specifically at Article 7, what steps were taken? Because Article 7 talks about the birth registration, the child's right to name and to acquire a nationality. This does not necessarily mean we have to give a nationality. But what it does mean is that we need to take very swift and immediate steps to ensure that a child's birth is registered and that the child acquires a nationality. So, granted, we may not have known about the existence of these two children prior to the raid, but why has it taken 3 weeks for the children to be deported, if indeed that's the best thing for them? Why have we not taken any steps to ensure their documentation swiftly? Why did it require an NGO to file a complaint or to raise this issue, make an issue of this, before we were able to take action? And in 24 hours, we managed to take action to get them deported, something which we were not able to do for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So things just doesn't add up here. Someone has been sleeping on the job or else, and I think this is more it, we just don't care about children generally, and we definitely don't care about children who are not citizens of this country. And that is a complete disregard of our promises and our commitment under CRC.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think can be improved or should be improved, especially for cases like this?
Well, definitely for a case where, okay, so for this case, what I understand from what I've read, and you know, forgive me if I'm wrong, what I understand is that the mothers have got legitimacy to stay in Malaysia, that they are migrant workers here and they've got the necessary documentation to support that. What seems to or may have happened is they've gotten pregnant and given birth to these two little kids while in employment or while being here legitimately. That's what I understand. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But if so, what we really need to do is to assist in this process. You know, why are these children undocumented? Why don't these children have some kind of citizenship papers? The Philippines in particular, I understand these children are Filipino. The Philippines in particular are very, very quick off the mark in terms of resolving these issues for their citizens. So it really, perhaps what it required is Malaysia to have the right systems and processes in place to enable a situation like this to come up to the Filipino embassy for them to take action. And I rather suspect that some of the policies and laws that we have in place are so oppressive that a lot of these women who find themselves in this situation may be fearful of some kind of adverse reaction from Malaysia, that they do not go and seek the necessary help they need. But we have to see that it's the child who's at risk.
Mm-hmm.
It's the child whose rights are violated. And it's the voiceless child. This child is unable to even know and articulate a position for themselves, you know, these two children. So that is the first thing we need to really sort out, you know, and drill down and decide that we are going to be what is described in the preamble of our Child Act, which talks about Malaysia being a caring society. I don't see anything here in our behaviour of Malaysia having cared for these children at all, which is so abhorrent to most Malaysians. You know, I can't imagine anyone saying it's okay. So apart from that, the preamble talks about Malaysia being a caring society, being just and humane, that we recognize the paramount consideration of a child being the best interest of the child, things like that. But, you know, we say these nice words, but we don't put it into our action. So our laws and policies really, really need to change. We need to start thinking that we need to start protecting and caring for children and ensuring their well-being, as we've promised in the CRC, by ratifying the CRC. And the other thing we need to do is to stop detaining children in immigration detention centres. Like I said earlier, immigration detention centres, I wouldn't even have an animal in there. It's quite horrific. And to think that children are there, what is provided for children in immigration detention centres is actually the lowest level. There is no teaching. There is no kind of instruction. There's no kind of development going on for a child. Yes, it's well-meaning. We throw a couple of soft toys at them, and that's it. You know, and the reason is because we deem that these children are going to be in those detention centres short-term. 3 weeks, you know, a lot of people say 3 weeks may not be very long. But 3 weeks for a 24-month-old is a very long time. And when you think about the fact that a lot of development is going on in those 3 weeks, then it becomes even longer. So just saying, I understand that the Director General of Immigration said, oh, yeah, you know, they've been kept, they've been given access to the nursery in the immigration center. Are they being taught? Are they being nurtured? Is their well-being being taken care of? Were these children being fed by the mothers? And if so, what has that separation done if they're not receiving the mother's milk anymore and they're being fed on formula? What has that done to the child? Mm-hmm. You know, so these things we need to look at. Keeping the child in an immigration detention centre should be our last resort, not our first resort.
That was Sharmila Sekaran, the co-founder of Voice of the Children. So as we mentioned earlier, it has been announced that the toddlers are to be released and sent back to the Philippines with their mothers today, hopefully. So I think it's something that we'll all be keeping an eye out on and hoping that it has a nice ending to it.
Yeah, well, that is it for that story for now. But I'm sure we'll hear more as this develops. In the meantime, we do have a poll going on Twitter in relation to our upcoming story.
We're asking you, should children have the same rights as adults to protest? So your options are yes or no. So you can continue to share any thoughts you have by tweeting us at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
So we will be back after a short break, but first here's Nina Simone with I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station. We'll be right back.